you see, to talk religion, to talk forgiveness, to talk love, to say all these things, and then on the other hand, do the most evil thing you can possibly do, to kill the most innocent in the womb. That's hypocrisy. It has to make you angry, because the people that Jesus got angry with were the hypocrites, who were outwardly religious, but inwardly were vulgar, wanted to murder the innocent, wanted to take the rights away from the poor. You see, and they're just religious. They've got the religious trappings, and that's what he's saying here. They're deceiving themselves.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the book of James, chapter 1.
Blessed because we came. You will be blessed because we came.
Don't let sin stop up the ears from hearing God. He's just talked about anger. That'll stop up hearing God right away. You see, that wickedness, it's an evil intent. And what do you do about that? Well, you replace it. You replace it with the word implanted. Isn't that what it says in that last part of verse 21? The word implanted in your heart, implanted on the good soil of your heart. You see, that good soil in your heart, the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit will overcome and will change whatever defilement is in you, whatever wickedness is in you. The Holy Spirit will do that and change you into the image of God. I've seen some of the most radical changes, if you're talking about anger. Radical changes. Now that person's a teddy bear. Or maybe that person that was such a lustful person, that's all they did in their life. They looked at every woman around. And, you know, they had the image of, you know, just this sexual thing in them. And now God's changed it into a fact where that's a child of God. That is God's daughter looking at them in a pure way. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what he's saying. And that's what you do when you put on humility, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on, verse 22. We're going to deal with this verse by verse to get all we can out of it. But he says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Doers, as a lifestyle. That's what that term is. Not just when you come to church or just not tonight when you're hearing on the web. Yeah, that's good instruction. And you hear it goes in one ear and out the other. And then you go back to the old ways. Tomorrow. No, it's a lifestyle he's talking about. Hearing and doing. And he's saying, if you hear this without doing it, without contemplating and saying, God, I need this work in my life, then you're deluding yourself. You're just being a spiritual hypocrite. Oh, yes, I'm religious. I'm a Christian. Yeah, you might know a lot, but you don't do anything about it. You see, you're deceiving yourself. Plus, the word of God can't root in you. You see, that's what he's talking about, implanted in you. The word of God needs to be rooted down in you. And it's only by hearing and doing the word of God. And if you just hear and you don't do, then you're deluding yourself. Plus, the word, here's the interesting thing. That word, delude, it's a mathematical calculation. In other words, You're deluding yourself because your math is wrong. It's wrong math. It's like, yeah, 2 and 2 is 5. Wow, I believe that. That's 5. 2 and 2 is 3. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. No, that's the wrong math. Well, yeah, I know that stuff. Yeah, but you're not doing that. That's the wrong math. You're deluding yourself. I saw years ago, and I saw it, I'm not sure if I saw it on the web or the news or whatever, but it was in 1999. Maybe you remember this. Very interesting. You can find it on the web as well. NASA. It was the Mars probe. It was lost due to a simple math error. I think a lot of Christians are lost because of a simple math error, because they delude themselves. And they think one thing, oh, they like the things that the Lord is saying, but they just don't do those. They just ascend in their mind, but they don't do it with their life, and they're an error. Well, let me read this. It was 198 million error. Now, I don't know what, that was 1999 figures. So what would that be today? I'm not sure. But here's what the article goes on to say. Mars Climate Orbiter. Spacecraft engineers failed to convert from English to metric measurements when exchanging vital data before the craft was launched. A navigation system at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, used the metric system of millimeters and meters in its calculation, while Lockheed Martin astronauts in Denver, which designed and built the spacecraft, provided crucial acceleration data in the English system of inches, feet, and pounds. As a result, JPL engineers mistook acceleration readings, measurements in English units, pound and seconds, for a metric measurement of force, and a force called Newton seconds, whatever space language that is. We were transmitting in English units and they were expecting metric units. None of JPL's rigorous quality control procedures caught the error in the 9 months it took the spacecraft to make its 461 million mile flight to Mars. One of the officials mentioned, what? It was launched that way? What a stupid error. and it was a very stupid error, but it was, notice, deluding. They were deluding one another. I mean, it was obviously, it was just a mistake that wasn't caught. Stupid mistake, but a mistake that wasn't caught. But for us as believers, we've got the Bible. Just refer to the Bible. Just go to the Bible. It's not going to make any errors. It's not going to steer you wrong. It's not going to give you the wrong information on how you're to live. Well, he goes on. We're coming to an end here. Let's go to verse 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. This is the folly of hearing the word of God without doing and deluding yourself. It's like you're looking in a mirror. I mean, we all look in the mirror. Some look too long in the mirror, and maybe some look too many times in the mirror. I mean, have you ever watched? I like to watch people sometimes as they walk down a shopping mall and they look into the mirrors, or they look into the windows of the different offices or shops, you know. You know that they're looking at themselves before they look past themselves into that place. But I mean, we're just prone to do that. But you see, when you look in a mirror, the idea is you look in the mirror and you see what's out of place. You know, whether it's be the hair and you comb your hair, you know, some of us don't have to worry about that too much like we used to. Or maybe you've got a smudge, you're dealing with a smudge or whatever it might be. The idea is you're looking in the mirror to see what's there. And you see, as we look into the Word of God, and when the Word of God convicts us, that's the mirror. It convicts us. so we do something about it. But if you don't, you're deluding yourself. You're hearing, and yet you're not doing. Big mistake. He goes on, verse 25. He says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Ah, now we get to the law of liberty. Okay, the Old Testament law, thou shalt not do this, but thou shalt do the other. So we look in the law and we go, well, yeah, I see it. And it's a perfect law. It's God's law. It's God's character. It's God's attributes. But I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I should be, but I'm not. And the other thing that I'm not supposed to do, and I'm doing it. Oh, Lord, I know it's not right. Ah, forgive me, Lord. Lead me out of that. And bring me into that work of the Spirit that is so much like you, into your image. Remember what Paul says in Romans 8 or Romans 7, where he says, the things that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I shouldn't do, I do. And he says, what I see in me is a law of sin. The very thing that God wants me to do and I don't, and the very thing God doesn't want me to do and I do, I find that there's that sin nature within me. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Blessed be the Lord, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For even though the outward man perishes because of sin, the inward man is renewed day by day. And then he talks about this law of grace, this law of liberty. And see, and what is the law of liberty? Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, then do whatever you want in life. Do whatever you want. You see, because love does no wrong to his neighbor. And if you love, you seek to please God at all times. You see, we focus on love. And when we see ourselves in the mirror and we see the dirt there, we just say, God, cleanse me, wash me. And he does right away. Done deal. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, love doesn't do wrong to a neighbor, and love seeks to please the Lord. That's what he says. Then in verse 26 here, we're James chapter 1, if you joined us late. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue. Oh, now we're dealing with something else. We dealt with anger. Now we're talking about the tongue. He doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. Let me read it again. Because I think the tongue, there's so much that that the book of Proverbs says about the tongue. If anyone, man or woman, boy or girl, thinks that he's religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Well, when you think about religion, it's the external trappings of our confession. Well, I'm a very religious person. I don't always like to use politicians in my sermon, but I just something that just struck me so wrong. I remember when one of the news reporters asked Nancy Pelosi that, do you hate Donald Trump? And she got really angry. She said, I don't hate anyone. I go to church and I pray all the time. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You wanted to, in this bill to help, you know, the coronavirus bill, the 2.2 million bill, you wanted to put $1 billion in there. Use that. Put $1 billion in there for Planned Parenthood. I'd have to say people like her that say, oh, I love people. Well, you don't love the unborn in the womb then. You see, this is where we can be so hypocritical in our religion, the outward trappings of religion. I say I love people and I pray every day. And yet at the same time, you vote for the murder of how many millions of children. And not only vote for it, you want to put in more and more money so more and more of those can be slaughtered. It's a horrible thing. Now, you can be forgiven. You know, those politicians or those people that have had abortions, and I say that men that impregnated women that have abortions are just or even more guilty as they are. You can be forgiven. You see, Paul the Apostle, he was a murderer. He held the coats of those that were stoning the first Christian martyr, which was Stephen. He was a murderer, but he was forgiven. You see, you can be forgiven. If you confess your sins, he's just and faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can do that right now. But you see, to talk religion, to talk forgiveness, to talk love, to say all these things, and then on the other hand, do the most evil thing you can possibly do to kill the most innocent in the womb. That's hypocrisy. It has to make you angry, because the people that Jesus got angry with, oh, so angry, and even talked about hellfire, were the hypocrites who were outwardly religious, but inwardly were hypocrites and eager, vulgar, horrible kind of people that wanted to murder the innocent, that wanted to take the rights away from the poor. You know, you can't just have a big smile and go, God loves everyone. No, he gets very angry. He's angry with sinners all the time, and yet he's forgiven them. But if they don't take that forgiveness and they don't change the way they live by the power of the Holy Spirit, then they're hypocrites. You see, and they're just religious. They've got the religious trappings. And that's what he's saying here. They're deceiving themselves. Oh, they go through the regulations and the rituals and the ceremonies. They're very faithful to going to church every Sunday, and they do all that. Maybe they even hold a Bible. Notice, but he says it's hypocrisy. You know, they're not really what he says. They don't bridle the tongue. They don't control the tongue in their hypocritical ways or in their slander of others. You see, when he talks about bridling the tongue, it's talking about ruling over. It's keeping a tight rein on your tongue. I've got to be careful. I understand that, what I say in the pulpit. I get criticized for that, but I have to be honest. I can't play as though Christianity is milquetoast. It's very powerful. And for a hypocrite, a religious person to end this life, especially people that are in their latter years and go into the next life as a hypocrite, you have to read the words of what Jesus says about them, because they're horrible words, horrible words. Talks about their place being in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. So we need to be very poignant and very direct in these things. You see, bridling the tongue, ruling over the tongue. The Bible says the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. So are they speaking right things, true things? The Bible tells us in Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, and I say to you, every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words, you shall be justified, and by your words, you shall be condemned. If I say things to you and I don't live those words, I'm hypocritical in those words, God is going to challenge me on that. That is going to be what I'm judged for. That's an idle word. That's not bridling the tongue. And so it is with all of us. Preachers first. Judgment is begin at the house of the Lord. And those that are teaching, they're under stricter judgment. And so I think when we, you know, just say things that kind of twist the Bible to our own thinking, we're going to be judged for that. Well, he goes on, he ends off here. He says, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, He's talking about those who can't defend themselves. Boy, they were brutal back in the Old Testament, New Testament. They were brutal to the widows, the orphans, those who couldn't defend themselves. So he's dealing with them. Now, really, if you're calling yourself a religious person, you see, those that can't give back to you are those who are barely able to get along themselves. They're helpless. They're in a helpless kind of condition. Those are the ones that we need to be looking out for. We need to be really, when he talks about visiting orphans and widows, I mean, it goes back to what I actually said about, you know, our House of Representative leader. You see, religion that wants to destroy and not help, that is really hypocritical kind of religion. It talks about you keep yourself unstained by the world. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. When we go along with the mob, whichever way the mob is going, and going along with the mob to try to stay in our position in power, that is a very dangerous thing. When we're a friend with the world, the Bible says being at enmity with the Lord. You see, it's the very world and the world condition that put Jesus on the cross. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. And that's why he says if you're a friend of the world, the atmosphere, the culture, the everything the world is pushing and trying to encourage society be like, when you're going along with that, when the church becomes worldly, because the world becomes churchy, you think, well, I could have an in with the world and, you know, be friends with them and, you know, go along with them. Then you've compromised. We want to be unstained by the world. So really, it's just an exhortation to be real Christians, to be real believers. Who you are is what you believe in, and how you live is truly what you believe in and what you hold to. So if it's the Word of God, if it's Jesus Christ, then follow Him. Then be His man, His woman of God. Be His child and follow in His ways and watch God's blessing.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study in the book of James, chapter 1. You can hear or watch this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. Take advantage of our vast media archive.
We really appreciate any word back from our listeners. If you'd like to reach us with a note, a comment, or even some financial support, you can do so online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com.
Now may the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in James chapter 2. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.